Today on Renewing Your Mind.
We only come to the doctrines of grace as we understand the Bible. The doctrines of grace have to come from God because they could have never come from you and me. We would have never reasoned these doctrines of grace. That is why I say they are completely counterintuitive.
Well, if you've listened to Renewing Your Mind for any length of time, you've heard us talk about the doctrines of grace. They're biblical truths which explain how God saves His people, that He saves us despite any good works on our part. Today on Renewing Your Mind, we begin a new portion of Dr. Stephen Lawson's series, Foundations of Grace. And he'll show us that a long line of godly teachers taught these doctrines of grace.
These men began in the Old Testament times, and they are the writers of Old Testament Scripture. These teachers of the doctrines of grace really began with Moses and Joshua and Samuel and Ezra and Nehemiah. These teachers of the doctrines of grace have extended to David and Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and all the way through the minor prophets. Each of these men taught the doctrines of grace, but the long line of godly men did not stop there. As we come into the New Testament, we see this long line of godly men actually grow and increase. And as we come to the New Testament, we see Jesus Christ Himself as a member of this long line of godly men who proclaimed and taught the doctrines of grace. And when Jesus trained His disciples and He sent them out to preach the Word of God, they taught exactly what they had heard from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And Peter, even on the day of Pentecost, began preaching the doctrines of grace. And throughout the book of Acts, the early first century church was flooded with the doctrines of grace. The Apostle Paul became one of the chief architects and authors of the doctrines of grace. But then also the author of Hebrews and James and Jude and the Apostle John. To a man, without exception, all of the biblical authors in the New Testament taught the doctrines of grace. And so it didn't even stop there. And as the canon of Scripture was being brought together, the early church fathers took up the Word of God that had been given to them by the biblical authors, and they preached and taught what was in the Scripture. And the church fathers taught the doctrines of grace. And those in the medieval period, as well as the pre-reformers and the reformers and the Puritans and those in the Great Awakening and those in the Victorian era, all the way down to this present hour with evangelicals and as R.C. would say, imputationists down to this present hour. All of these men have taught the doctrines of grace. And if you want to be in the right line, you need to get in this long line of godly men. And so in this series, we want to trace this out in the New Testament. But before we dive into the New Testament, I want to give an introduction to you to the doctrines of grace. And I see many of you with a notepad, and I want to give you an outline to help us think through in this introductory session, these doctrines of grace. And when we say doctrines of grace, we mean the doctrines of sovereign grace. Sometimes it's been nicknamed the 5 points of Calvinism. I like the title Doctrines of Grace because these long precede the Reformation. These are rooted and grounded, as we will discover in the first century, with the biblical authors themselves. So what can we say in this first session about the doctrines of grace? Well, number one, they are biblically based. These truths are rooted and grounded in the very Word of God itself. They were not invented in Geneva. They were not coined in Wittenberg or Northampton or even in Hippo in North Africa. These are found in chapter and verse passages throughout the entire Scripture. And these are not the result of the philosopher's thinking. This is not the result of religious reasonings. No, these have come down from the throne of grace. These have come down from the very genius of God's own mind. God Himself is the author and the architect of the doctrines of grace, and they are revealed to us in pages of Scripture. And the more carefully you read the Bible, and the deeper you dig down into the biblical text, the more you discover the doctrines of grace. And as I have found, once you discover them, suddenly they're everywhere. And no matter where you open your Bible, you have eyes now to see the doctrines of grace that are found throughout pages of Scripture. So, this is where we begin our introduction. As we lay our case for the doctrines of grace, they are biblically based. And to believe them is really to believe the veracity of God. And to reject the doctrines of grace is to really reject God Himself. Second, they are clearly stated. They are clearly stated in the Word of God itself. They're not obscurely hidden in remote passages of Scripture. They are not concealed. They are not veiled. They are not ambiguously taught in the Scripture. They are not an enigma. They are not presented in a riddle form. They're not hard to see. They may be hard to swallow, but they're not hard to see. They are prominently positioned in the Word of God. And if you have two eyes and can read, there they are clearly stated in the Word of God. In fact, you find them in the very opening verses of books in the Bible. They're not tucked away and hidden behind a tree at the end of books in the Bible where you would have to just read the entire book until you come to the doctrines of grace. As soon as you open many books in the Bible, immediately in the opening verses, boom, there they are right there on the front porch for everyone to see. They are found in the opening prologues of books in the Bible. And they are found in the opening doxologies in books in the Bible. They are found in the main discourses of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the more profound His discourses, the more we find Him teaching the doctrines of grace. They are found in the main arguments of the apostles. They are found in the preaching of the apostles. They are stated and taught with most assertive, plain, clear, straightforward language throughout the pages of Scripture. They are clearly stated. In fact, you would have to be in a church that does not teach verse by verse through books in the Bible in order to avoid this. Because once you start in chapter 1, verse 1, and you teach systematically, consecutively, sequentially through books in the Bible, and you do not skip over any verses, then especially in the New Testament books, you are brought face to face with the doctrines of grace. And the only way to miss it is to be under a pulpit that is so teaching topically that they can just avoid the subject. They can tap dance their way around these verses and never have to address them. But the fact of the matter is, they are clearly stated. Third, they are theologically precise. They are five doctrines of grace that are specifically taught throughout the New Testament with razor-sharp accuracy. They are revealed to us with definitive words and specific language. And I want to just lay out these five doctrines of grace so that we know what we're talking about here, all right? We're talking about, number one, total depravity, the doctrine of total depravity. Some could call it radical corruption, that the effects of the original sin of Adam has spread to, listen to this, every part of every person on every continent, in every generation in the human race. When we say spread to every part of every person, we mean that it has darkened their minds so that they cannot see the truth, nor can they see their need. It has defiled their heart such that their affections now do not desire God. There is none who seeks after God, no, not one. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each one of us has turned to his own way. And also it has deadened the will, whereby the will is in bondage to sin. This is what we mean by total depravity. And the result of this, that every person is plagued now by sin, from the top of one's head to the bottom of one's feet. Every inch, every ounce has come under the pollution of original sin. The result is that the entire human race is under the wrath of God. The result is that the curse of the law, which is death to all lawbreakers, has rendered us under condemnation before a holy God in heaven. That's the first doctrine of grace. And then second, there is unconditional election, or some would call it sovereign election. Because no man, no woman can choose God on their own. What a glorious thing it is that God chooses those who cannot choose Him. If God did not choose, then no one would ever choose God. But the Scripture clearly teaches that He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, and in love predestined us unto the adoption of sons, according to the kind intention of His will. This is what God did, and this is the second doctrine of grace. And God, having chosen His elect, He gave them to His Son before time began, to be His chosen bride, to be the love gift from the Father to the Son, that there would now be a people who would be conformed into His image, and throughout all the ages to come would sing His praises forever and ever and ever. How glorious of the Father to make this choice. And the choice was based on no foreseen good works. It was the result of the sheer sovereign will of God for reasons known only to God. God did not choose us because of us. God chose us in spite of us. It was a gracious choice of God. The third doctrine of grace is definite atonement, or particular redemption. And this is the teaching of Scripture, that Jesus Christ, having received the elect from God the Father in eternity past, came into this world on a God-directed mission. It was to save His people from their sins. And Jesus has come into this world to lay down His life for the sheep, for those who had been given to Him by the Father. And He has bought the church with His own blood. And He has loved the church and has given Himself for the church. This is the teaching of definite atonement, that Jesus Christ died on behalf of all those who would truly believe in Him. And then fourth is the doctrine of effectual calling, or sovereign regeneration, that the Holy Spirit has come into the world now to convict and to call and to regenerate those whom the Father chose and for whom the Son has died. The Holy Spirit now has come to apply the accomplishment of the death of Christ at the cross, and to open blind eyes, and to open deaf ears, and to open closed hearts, and to grant the gift of repentance and faith, and to birth lost sinners who have been chosen by the Father to regenerate them and birth them into the kingdom of heaven. And then fifth and finally is the doctrine of the perseverance of the saints, or persevering or preserving grace, or the eternal security of believers, that all those who are brought to repentance and saving faith in Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit are forever preserved in grace. And they will never fall away from Christ. They will never perish. A believer will never become an unbeliever because they are sealed in Christ. So these doctrines of grace are not broad. They are narrowly defined. They are theologically precise with razor-sharp accuracy. There's no wiggle room in the doctrines of grace. Now, fourth, they are distinctly Trinitarian. The doctrines of grace stress, and this is one of the glories of the doctrines of grace, they stress that all three persons of the Trinity are a savior of sinners. God the Father is a savior. God the Son is a savior. God the Holy Spirit is a savior. All three persons are involved in the saving enterprise of sinners who are perishing. That is why when we baptize, according to Matthew 28:19, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And the reason that we do not baptize just in the name of Jesus, but in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, it is a confession of our faith that all three persons of the Godhead are a Savior. And we have to think in that way. So often we refer to Jesus as the Savior, and rightly so, because John 4:42, He's the Savior of the world. He's come to seek and to save that which is lost. But we must also understand that God the Father is as much a Savior as God the Son is. And God the Holy Spirit is as much a Savior as God the Son. All three persons stand together as one Savior, three persons to carry out this great work of salvation. We could put it this way. God the Father authored salvation. God the Son accomplished salvation. God the Spirit applies salvation. They stand together as one Savior. John 10:30, Jesus said, I and the Father are one. And by that, He did not mean one person. He meant one purpose, one mission, one design, if you will. The doctrines of grace are distinctly Trinitarian and give us the best understanding of how the entire Trinity worked together in the salvation of the same people. And unfortunately, the Arminian actually fractures the Godhead, divides the Trinity, and has the Father attempting to save one group, and has the Son attempting to save a totally different group, and has the Holy Spirit attempting to save yet a totally different group. They're like a man who gets on a horse and tries to ride in every direction. They're just divided. But in our understanding of the doctrines of grace, there is a solidarity within the Godhead and their saving purposes. Those whom the Father chose are those for whom the Son died, are those whom the Spirit regenerates and births into the kingdom. And so we see a unity of purpose in the Trinity as we understand the doctrines of grace. Fifth, they are completely counterintuitive. This is to say that the doctrines of grace are entirely antithetical to the natural mind. They are the very opposite of the way the flesh thinks. And were we to simply approach this by human reasoning, we would come up with a totally different doctrinal system. If we were just left to our own mind, not divine revelation, but just human reasoning, we would conclude that man is basically good. And we would conclude that man has freedom of will to choose in whichever direction he so desires. Left to our own human reasoning, we would say that God merely looks down the proverbial tunnel of time to see who would believe in his Son, Jesus Christ. And so the Father would be learning something he did not previously know. And based upon what he foresees, someone believing in the Son, the Father would then respond and choose them based upon their choice. That would be natural human reasoning. But more than that, we would also reason that Jesus died for everyone, that he bought the whole world, and that even souls in hell have been purchased by the blood of Christ. That would be natural reasoning. Further, we would also naturally reason that you must believe and then be born again. You must first believe, and if you will only believe first, then you will be born again. And that you have the capacity to naturally, in and of yourself, believe in Christ. And then to take this a step further, you would naturally reason that if you could put yourself in Christ, you could then remove yourself from Christ. If you can believe on your own, then you could unbelieve on your own, and that you could fall away from Christ, and that your ongoing salvation is dependent upon you holding on to Christ, not Christ holding on to you. All of that is just what J. Vernon McGee would call stinking thinking. That's just bad reasoning. And what it is the flesh. What it is human attempt to try to think. We only come to the doctrines of grace as we understand the Bible. The doctrines of grace have to come from God because they could have never come from you and me. We would have never reasoned these doctrines of grace. That is why I say they are completely counterintuitive. They are entirely antithetical. They are the very opposite of the way man thinks. Therefore, they have to come down from God above. Well, may the Lord give us penetrating insight and understanding into these glorious doctrines of grace.
That's Ligonier Teaching Fellow Dr. Stephen Lawson with his message titled, The Long Line Continues. You've joined us for the Saturday edition of Renewing Your Mind. I'm Lee Webb, and last Saturday we wrapped up Dr. Lawson's series, Foundations of Grace, Old Testament. Over the next several weeks, Dr. Lawson will walk us through the entire New Testament, showing us how God has revealed His sovereignty in salvation. In 24 messages, Dr. Lawson explains the absolute uniformity of the Old and New Testaments in teaching the doctrines of grace. And as you heard, he makes the important point that these doctrines did not originate with man. We'll send you this series, Foundations of Grace, New Testament, when you contact us today with your gift of any amount. You can go online to renewingyourmind.org, or you can call us with your gift at 800-435-4343. You know, what we believe about the Bible determines every other area of our lives. But sometimes we discover passages that are difficult to understand, and we face questions that we simply can't answer. That's why Ligonier Ministries established Ask Ligonier. It's an online service that provides personal, real-time answers to your biblical and theological questions. We have team members around the world who are standing by ready to help. Go to ask.ligonier.org to get started. Well, on today's program, Dr. Lawson introduced the five basic principles of the doctrines of grace. Next Saturday, he continues exploring the rich expressions of God's grace throughout Scripture. We hope you'll join us next week for Renewing Your Mind.